Well, it is good to be with you this morning. And as my dad said, I'm a pastor over in West Michigan. We're about 15 minutes off the big lake, Lake Michigan, and we enjoy getting to the beach regularly and just enjoying God's creation all the time. We have more cows and cornfields than we do people where we're from, small farming community, but very excited about being here with you this morning. I am number two with all of number two syndromes in full swing. I'm here and enjoying reconnecting with some of you. And as part of my reconnection with you, I want to give a confession. My confession is I hate chores. All right? I hate chores, and there's a difference in my mind between chores and a job. A job, there's a definite start and finish. If you're having a job of building a table, for example, you have the start to the job and a finish. You have a finished product. But with chores, chores are never done. You ever follow? Are you following with me? You do laundry, you spend the whole day doing laundry, and by the end of the day, guess what? You got more laundry, still more laundry, right on. If you're looking around to mowing the grass, you have another week and you're going to mow it again, right? Or unless you hit that sweet spot in between summer and winter, in between where there's no grass growing and there's no snow to blow out of the driveway. That's my favorite spot right there. No, I get that with trash. You spend your entire day, not entire day, maybe an hour, maybe a little while. You go around and you're taking all the trash out of all the bedrooms and bathrooms. You're getting it all out. It's trash day. We're taking it all out. And before you even go to the garage to get it into the main dumpster, guess what? You got more trash. My dad noticed this and he said, yep, we're going to have trash. We have a family of six and four of the members are males. My wife does not need to concern herself with the trash can. That's not a job for mom to do. And so he kind of made this known to us boys. And all of us thought we had an original thought. As long as it's not overflowing, we don't have to mess with it. My dad never set up a rotation. It wasn't week one was my week, week two was Jason, week three was Andy. He didn't do any of that. He just said, if you notice it getting full, just go ahead and take care of it. And so we would find trash around the house. We'd have to throw away something, and we'd go up to the trash can, and we'd be like, I don't have to take out the trash. It's not overflowing yet. And then we're like, it's right to the brim. And then like Jason would grab some more trash and he would be like, oh, man. Ha! I don't have to take it out either. And it's like, come on now. I have a napkin and now I have to take out the garbage. I didn't like it. I don't want to address the mess of the garbage. And we all could go to this a little bit, I think. I think this is how our lives actually work out. I think there's stuff inside of our lives that's messy, that stuff that we should take the time to address. But instead, a lot of times, we just push it down and try to hide the mess. This morning, I want us to address the mess. All right, I want us to look into God's word and discover a couple things that he has for us. So if you're following along in your notes, your first blank is going to be address the mess. On your note sheet, you may notice there's a lot of notes. It's been a little while since I've been back to Calvary for a service. I asked my dad, how much time do I have? He says, take what you need. So buckle up. First service, they had the ABF hour to hold me back. I have no end time. I'm just joking. We're going to get out of here in time, I promise you. We're going to move through your notes pretty quick this morning. As you're getting your notes out, you may want to also flip over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be just looking at a couple of verses out of that chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 says it like this. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Do you read the verse? Rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And I read those five words, and I think, man, those are mess-creating words. every one of those has a point of potentially making a mess in our lives. And I want us to dissect each one of those, want us to discover what each one of those words mean and how that actually plays out in our life. So our first one, malice. Malice. Malice, by definition, is ill will towards people. It's ill will towards people. Now, when we're thinking about malice, we're not wishing something catastrophic would happen, something bad that would be like a car accident, but we're looking towards this and saying, man, if that person could just come down a notch or two, that would be great. You know the person I'm talking about? The person who's always right, and they always let you know that you're wrong, and they're usually right when they say that you're wrong. And like, man, I just want them to get a taste of this. I just want them to come down a notch or two. So to help us pinpoint this, I asked the question, whose failure would I secretly celebrate? Whose failure would I secretly celebrate? So this person who's always right and I'm always wrong, they're in a meeting, and all of a sudden the boss says, no, you're wrong. And they were wrong. Like, yes. That's malice. That's where this malice starts to create its mess. It's when we're wishing bad things to happen to people. And Peter tells us we need to get rid of that kind of thought, that kind of emotion. We need to get rid of that stuff. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to the next word. He says, I want you to rid yourself of all deceit. Deceit. And deceit is all dishonesty, not just lying. That's all dishonesty, not just lying. See, for most of us, we know that lying is straight up wrong. And we might even go with the white lie and the little fibs is wrong. But Peter's not playing games with the words here. He says, I want you to get rid of all deceit. How does this work itself out? Deceit is implying that we are better than what we are. It implies that we are better than what we are. And let's just play this out for a second. We're in with our boss, and we have a big project that's due on Tuesday. So the boss comes in, and he says, hey, how are you doing on your project? You know, I'm just checking in, seeing how it's coming along. Oh, great, we just have a couple of things to button up. Which is true, but we've done this much of the project. We wrote on a piece of paper, project. That's as far as we've gotten with it. The project's this big and we've done this much. See, it's this implication that says, hey, I actually have started my work. I've actually got it going. In reality, we don't. It implies that we are better than what we really are. Peter's like, no, that's a mess-creating problem. When we allow that kind of thought to come in and we're allowing those types of words to go out, it's going to create problems. It's creating mess. And it's kind of like we're filling up our trash can every time we do it. So no, we got to get rid of it. We got to clean it out. Letter C, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is our next word. Hypocrisy is saying one thing or doing another. Saying one thing and doing another. It has this idea of acting or playing the part, if you will. And I tell you, out of all this list, this is the one that gets me. I spent years doing this exact one. When I would come to youth group, a youth leader would say, hey, Paul, how are you doing? I'm like, fine. Is there anything you're trying to work on? Is there anything that I can be praying for you about? And I'd say, oh, yeah, pray that I'd read the Bible more. Because as I came to church, I was able to put the mask on and I could make the smile happen and I could play the part really, really well. I'd be careful to use my words the way I wanted to. I would actually say, pray that I'd read the Bible more. This goes back to the deceit. Why? Because that implied that I was actually reading my Bible. After all, aren't good Christians supposed to read their Bible more and more every day? So I was actually shielding it to make myself look as best as I possibly could. And inside, I would come to church, and I could have a horrible week. And inside, I'm like, yay, I'm at church, and yes, I'm happy, yay. Inside, I'm a mess. I'm a mess, and I just needed so desperately to actually be real at church. I needed to allow somebody to come in and to actually know the issues that were in my heart. But I never did. I played the part. And I dealt with this pretty much my entire life. until I was in college. When I was in college, I was taking a seminary class. I don't really recall what the whole lecture was about on this particular day, but I remember his introduction. My professor begins his lecture with, "Hey, I want to tell you a story." I'm like, "Yes, story time. I like it, story time. That means I don't have to take notes. I'm not responsible for this." So inside, I'm waiting for the story to come down. The story starts, and he says, "I knew a guy once who was afraid of not being perfect. Now, he knew he wasn't perfect, but he would never let anybody else see that he wasn't perfect." And I remember writing it on my notebook. I said, "That's me." And I kicked it down to my older brother, who was also taking the class with me. Fork it on down to him. He looks at it. He looks at me. I said, "We need to talk after class." For the rest of the hour, I don't recall anything that took place. But after that, I go back to my dorm room. And for the first time in my entire life, I finally let someone in. I opened up every possible issue that I had. I'm like, "I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't know if I'm doing this. I'm thinking about this and this and this and this." And I'm just broken. I'm broken before God. I'm broken before my brother. I said, "Man, I can't live like this anymore. It's so exhausting being perfect." So we developed an accountability group, me and my older brother. We brought my younger brother in on it. Said, "We cannot go back to living like that." All three of us had the same problem. Said, "We got to get rid of this stuff. It's exhausting. It's not the way the Christian life was meant to be lived." And yet sometimes when we do, we just kind of play the part. We come to church with a happy face, and inside we're just cramming every issue into the trash can. Just get rid of it. Open it up. Bring somebody else into your struggle. The struggle is real. It's far too big most of the time to take it on ourselves. Why not? Peter says, "Let's get rid of this and let's get a grip on this particular one." The next word that he goes after, and at this point I'm ready to be done with the verse. Just being honest. Envy. It says, "Get rid of envy." This is discontentment with what we have. It's discontentment with what we have. So we could start to look to other people and other things and start the line, "I wish I had a fill in the blank." I don't know what it is for you, but if I had a guess, some of the issues that I see is, "I wish I had that car. Do you know I drive the worst car in the whole parking lot? It sounds like an aircraft carrier taking off. And I'm like, what is that sound? Oh, that's this. I need a new exhaust. The mechanic fixed it, and he didn't fix it right. So it sounds like this. It's got the most rust on the whole thing. Man, I wish I had another car. Man, I wish I had another spouse. Man, I wish I had those kids. My kids are of the devil. I wish I had other things than what I have." It is discontentment with what God's actually given to us. He says, you need to get rid of that. You need to move past this, "I wish I had a, I wish I, oh, that's a new one. I like that. Ooh, over there. Yes, that's the one I want." He wants us to move past that. He says, "I just want you to enjoy the blessings that I've given you." And our last word for this morning is slander. And this is making false or damaging statements about someone else. Slander. In my words, I use bad-mouthing. That's how I would talk. I probably don't use the word slander, but I do use the word bad-mouthing. And this is where we get around some people, and we're just talking about this, that, and the other thing. It doesn't really matter what we're talking about, but inevitably, conversations start to slide towards a direction. And inside that, we start to say things like, "I can't believe that person did that. Can you believe she wore that? I would never do that. There's no way in the world I would make that kind of mistake." And we start to shred people. And right here, it's like, man, this is tough stuff. At least it is for me. I read through these five words and I come up with the definitions and I'm thinking, I got some work to do. And maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking the same thing. So in your notes, I put down a line that says, "The mess I need to address is fill in the blank." And I'm not sure how God is speaking to you this morning. Maybe it's one of these five words, or maybe there's another one that's not included with these five words. But we need to start to address the mess. We can't have the trash can continuing to fill up and overfill. We have to address it. So this morning, I want you to take a moment and just jot down something, and then you put your hand over it. You can cover it right on up, okay? Because I know how this works. We don't want people to see what we're actually writing down on our notes. So write something in, cover it up, and that way you can keep on keeping this between you and God. That's fine. Take a moment. So at this point, we've addressed it. We've identified a mess. We've identified something that's not going quite right inside our lives, and we've identified it. But that's not really what Peter's talking about. He doesn't just say, hey, by the way, here's some five mess areas, and just identify them and go about your merry way. He actually wants us to do something with it. And so number two, we actually have to attack the mess. We actually have to get on it. We actually have to start pushing towards this conclusion of this thing. So if we're going to attack the mess, letter A, we got to confess the mess. We have to confess it. 1 John 1:9 says it like this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse. I love that verse. Because it's a promise about God's forgiveness to me. And I love that. No mess is so great that it can outdo God's grace and his love and his forgiveness. God loves us. He says, just confess it to me and I will forgive you. You say, but Pastor Paul, I don't know. You don't know me at all. That's probably true for some. You don't know the stuff that I've done, the actions that I've done, the words that I've spoken. I've made some big time messes. That's okay. The verse doesn't read, if you've made small messes, then I'll forgive you. If you've made small sins, I'll forgive you. He says, confess your sins, all of them, to me, and I will forgive you, all of them. Like, yes, this is awesome. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're thinking, I don't know about this whole thing about God and confessing sins. I was actually drugged to church because my friend wouldn't get off my back. And you're sitting here thinking, I don't know about all this. Here's the thing. Life happens, and as it happens, we notice that we start to look for things. And we try different things to fill ourselves up, to try to make ourselves feel a little bit better. So we bounce from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, trying to fill up a hole in our heart that's only filled with God. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and that's where you're at. I want to encourage you to start a relationship with God. Start a conversation with him. And if I were to kind of coach a little bit, I would say it like this. I love to talk to God as if he's my dad. That's what the Bible actually supports. It calls God our Father. So I start talking to him. Hey, Father in heaven, I've screwed up. I've been chasing different things all my life, and nothing's making sense. I've done some things that I wish I hadn't. Would you forgive me for those mistakes? I believe that Jesus died on the cross, which he did. And this is how the forgiveness works. Jesus took all the punishment on a cross for all of our sins. I believe that he did that, and I'm going to make it my goal to honor him the rest of my life. And then I'll just conclude with amen. But there's another group of you that are in this room right now, and you said, yeah, I've done that, and I still make mistakes, and I'm still making these kinds of messes. Join the party, because that's me. And I look at this and think, man, why do I keep screwing up? Why do I keep messing up on this particular issue? Well, as we confess our sins, we cannot make a general confession. We cannot make a general confession to attack specific issues. We actually have to confess and admit the exact offense. So it's not like when we conclude the end of the day and we're laying in bed just before we drift off to sleep, we're thinking, I should probably pray a little bit. Father, forgive me. I'm sure I screwed up today. So, I'll try to do better tomorrow. Amen. That won't help in this, what I'm trying to suggest this morning. That won't help. We have to actually get down to the nitty-gritty, to the specific, and say, hey, Father, I'm so sorry that I badmouthed, that I gossiped, that I shredded one of your creations today when I was at work. God, I'm so sorry that in my anger, I blew up and I yelled at my kids even though they did nothing wrong. I'm so sorry that I was looking at trash on the internet. I know that's not how you've designed this whole thing to work, and I'm tired of it. I'm sorry. Give me the strength to get over this. I want to actually get on with this. I want to get victory over this. And that leads us to our next point. We actually have to clean the mess. We actually have to clean the mess. And inside this, we could be in this pit of mess creating things. And as we're in the pit, we got to first stop digging. Okay? We're in there with our shovel and we say, nope, I'm not making any more messes. I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to get on with it. I'm actually going to do the work of cleaning the mess. And for me, as I look at that list of words, I was like, man, this is a big job. This is a huge job. How can I clean all of this on my own? Good news is, I can't. Why? Because God's given us a cleaning agent. Isn't that awesome? He's given us the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, he starts doing his work inside of us, and he starts to make us more and more and more like Jesus. I'm like, yes, this is cool. This is so cool. And as I was thinking about this a little bit further, I was like, how does he do this? Well, he uses his cleaning supplies, right? He uses his cleaner, the word of God. Our second verse in our passage this morning says it like this. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And as a young dad, the thought of a newborn babe is right there in my mind. It hasn't been that long since I've had a kid. I'm going to be reacquainted with this in a couple of months. I'm looking forward to that and not all at the same time. Why? What do babies do when they're hungry? Cry. They just cry incessantly. It's amazing that such a small little package can get that much volume out. I've thought about this. I'm like, dude, take a chill. You just ate like 2 hours ago. What? You're not going to die. You're going to get your bottle. Don't worry. Settle down. But he's saying, he's drawing that picture out, and he says, just like a newborn child goes after milk, so we should go after our Bible reading. So we should go after God's word. And I'm thinking, whoa. So the Holy Spirit's inside here, and I'm getting enough of the Bible. I'm just soaking it all up. I'm getting it in. I'm intaking all the time. And then as I go through my life, the Holy Spirit starts to prod me a little bit. I said, remember that verse you read this morning? Yeah, this is the case, right here. Don't do it. Do this instead. I'm thinking, this is too cool that God has equipped us to be able to tackle things like this. Not only that, but he is providing the way and the power to achieve victory over these messes. As we work in tandem with the Holy Spirit, it's actually creating faith steps, and we're actually getting a chance to grow in our faith each step we take. We're saying, I wish I can't wait to get to the finish line, but right now I'm just taking one step at a time, and before long I'll get there. I know what the power of the Holy Spirit can do, and it's cool. It is cool to watch how the Spirit can transform a person's life. So as we are thinking about all these messes and all these things that we need to work on, let us see, we got to stop making the same. Oh, I'm sorry. We've got one more verse. Could you throw it up on the screen for me? It's Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is how we cut out the messes in our life. It is through the reading of God's word and through the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us see. We got to stop making the same mess. We got to stop making the same mess. That means we need to replace the messy action with an opposite action. Are you tracking with me? We got to stop making the mess. And what I mean by that is we got to replace this messy action with the opposite. So if you're following along in your notes, I've got a little chart for you. In the chart, it says, if it is, I will. Okay? So if we're struggling and we're saying, I'm ready to do business with these issues, if it is, and I'm going to work the five words, if it is malice, then I will be nice. I will do nice things. If it's malice, I'll do nice things. Instead of having all those anger feelings inside and wishing that something bad would happen to somebody else, I'll buy them a coffee on the way into work. I will grab them a candy bar and just say, hey, I hope you have a great day. Here's something to sweeten it up a little bit. We're doing something opposite of what our natural disposition is. If it is deceit, if it's deceit, then I will tell the truth. And see, for a lot of these, we have a lifelong pattern of developing these things. So some of these aren't going to change like that. They're not going to change overnight. So with deceit, if that's one that has pegged you a little bit, then we're going to say, you know what? The first thing that's going to roll out of my mouth is a deceitful answer. The boss comes in and says, where are we at the project? Our first thing, oh, I got to button it up. It'll be on your desk by tomorrow night. And by that, I really mean I'll have the project started and completed because I haven't started the project. And it takes a level of humility on our part to do that, to correct the lie. But it's better. It's good. That's a good thing. That's what when we start to follow what this verse is actually talking about. Hypocrisy, we're going to do what we say. We're not going to play the part any longer. We're not going to build the wall up and just to let certain people see certain things from us. We're just going to be the person that God has us to be right here, right now, for better, for worse. Envy, we're going to express thanks. We're going to express thanks. Instead of saying, man, my car is a piece of junk, I wish I had the guy next to me's car because that looks sweet. We're saying, thank you, Lord, for the car that I have that fires first try every time, every morning. It's such a reliable car. It's okay. Thank you for the blessings you've given to me. Slander, we're going to offer compliments. We are going to offer some compliments. So when we're in our circle of friends and we're talking and all of a sudden that conversation moves from one thing to the next, now we're onto a person. Now we have an opportunity to stick out like a sore thumb because we're going to start to look at this and we're saying, well, I can't believe they did this and they did this and they did this. Yeah, but they did this really well. They should be praised for the job that they're doing. Well, that'll be awkward. That's just going to be awkward. And everybody's like, So it's going to be a little weird, but awkward's awesome, right? Awkward is awesome because we're taking that step of faith. We're stepping in and saying, no, this is what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. Offer the compliment, punch it, go for it. They're doing this great. Chirp, 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 chirp. Disband the whole group. That's what's going to happen. The whole group will change topics very quickly when that happens. But that's a good thing. And then after that, then we can go to that person and truly offer them that encouragement. I get encouragement when I hear people say things. And I say, hey, you did a really good job there. That fills me up, and I think that fills up a lot of people. So if you notice someone doing that, and you're saying, you know what, my natural thing is to shred the bad one bad thing and forget about the 10 good things. I'm just going to go in, and I'm going to make a note to tell them, hey, you did a really good job right here, right now, and be specific with it. That's how we combat these things. That's how we address these messes. We do the opposite action. For most messes, that will take care of most issues. But there's some other messes that aren't quite so simple. Our world's a messed up place, isn't it? It's just a messed up place with a bunch of messed up people inside it. There's some messes that are so great and so big that you're thinking, man, I've tried everything you've said so far, and I'm still not gaining victory. Well, we need to get some help with the mess. We need to get some help with the mess. It's as if this trash can is so full that I can't pick it up, and I need someone to come alongside me to help get this into the dumpster. And on this part, we actually go to a trusted friend. See, James 5:16 says it like this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I'm thinking, wait, what? I actually have to go and talk to someone about my issue? Yeah, some issues require that. But as we walk with someone, we see greater victory happening. It hasn't worked out up until this point, so now it's time to take a different step, a different approach, because we can't keep doing the same thing we've always done. Now it's time for us to change our approach. And we're going to talk to a trusted friend. We have to talk to a trusted friend. Because as I read that verse, I don't think we're supposed to come to church and have like confessional time. Everybody get a microphone and say, hey, this is my current sin issue. I don't think that's quite what it's talking about. But I do think there's benefit in me going alongside someone else and saying, hey, I'm really struggling with this particular issue. Can you help? And maybe those issues are bigger than that person can handle, but a prayer of a righteous person can avail much power, right? That's what the verse just said. So maybe they have nothing else to offer except a prayer time with you. And that's good. But I also think if you get into that part, these trusted conversations between a trusted friend, there's some specific things we should talk about. We should have specific questions. We have to have the friend ask us specific questions. And by that, I mean, you're going in and say, hey, I've been dealing with this issue for so long, and I'm tired of dealing with it, and I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to help me gain some victory over here. So I'm going to give you three questions that you need to do. The first question is, how many times did you dot, 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 right? How many times did you look at porn on the internet this week? How many times did you get angry? How many times did you swear? How many times did you lie this past week? And as that person is sitting there, they're going to ask, you're giving them permission to ask this question. That means we can't get mad at them when they ask the question because we just said, here's my questions. Can you make sure you ask me this specifically? And now we're going to start to take that step that we need to get rid of this stuff. Second question, when are you the most tempted to do it? When are you most tempted to do it? Because there's patterns when we have these mess-creating things, there's patterns in our lives. Some of those patterns are when we're tired. When we're tired, I lose my control of my tongue, so I shoot off everything that comes into my mouth, whether that's swearing or getting angry or whatever. I just lost my ability to think, or so I think. So I'm going to watch that. Or maybe it's after working all day with that person. You're like, I know I got to work with that person today. I can't stand that person. They always do dumb things. Every day I work with them, they're doing it. Do you know how annoying that is? Now we're shredding, right? Say, nope. So we watch it. When are you most tempted to do it? Is it at work? Is that at home? Is it when everybody goes to bed? When are you most tempted to do it? Number three, are you lying? Are you lying? Because even though we are in this phase of addressing the mess and we've identified it and now we're attacking it and we're trying to clean it, we're in this part and we're saying, you know what? I still like doing it. I actually still like the mess. I've had all my life dealing with it and it's kind of my baby over here. And even though I know it's wrong, I don't know if I can get rid of this. So we still are doing the hypocrisy and this deceit, even when we ask somebody for the accountability help. So make me look you in the eye and answer your questions. Here's what happens. We get to this part, they ask the questions, we're shading, we're answering kind of deceitfully, typically, unless we're really trying to do it hard until we really hate the sin, we're being very careful with how we answer the questions. Are you lying? When we lie, we typically look down. Nope, not lying. Look me in the eye. Get them up here. Are you lying? No, I'm not. Good work. And then we praise the daylights out of it. That's a good thing. That's a step in the right direction. We make them look us in the eye and we'll get on with it. Addressing the mess isn't the most pleasant of things to deal with. It just isn't. And at this point, if I had a guess, if I had to go through every aisle and take out everybody's notes, which I'm not going to do, but if I did, I bet you there's two slots that aren't really filled in on your notes. One's at the bottom of the first page and one's at the bottom of the second page. Because at the bottom of the first page, it says the mess I need to address is blank. Bottom of the second page is the step I need to address or the step I need to take to clean my mess is blank. And I didn't fill those in. But this week, we need to. We actually need to start working on these things. So this week, I would encourage you to save your notes and look through them. I've put some passages in the notes. I've put a lot of notes out there for you. But I would like you to take some time this week to identify the mess and then to get on it, to start cleaning it up. Sound good? How about we pray? We'll conclude our service this morning. Our Father in heaven, I tell you, there are chores that need to be done in the house, and there's chores that need to be done in our lives. Your word identified 5 of them for us this morning, but we know that there's other ones that weren't on that list. And I pray that you would help us to get on them, that we'd start to identify these mess-creating problems, that you'd help us to clean them. I pray that your spirit would work in our lives, that we'd see victory gained over each and every one of these issues, and that you'd make us more like your son. I pray that you'd give us the boldness to talk to trusted friends if that is needed, but I also pray that you would help us to see victory. Thank you for sending your son. I thank you for the love that you give to us, and I pray that our lives would be acceptable to you. In your name I pray, amen.
Who knew that trash can exercise for boys would come back to haunt me? I'm not talking about the trash there. I'm talking about the principle that was underlying the message. It's rather humbling to look at your own life as you hear your son lay out scriptural challenges about what it takes to get rid of sin. That is a really good thing. If you plan on being back here for the Lord's table tonight, spend some time with the notes and address the mess that has collected there since, I don't know, the last time you cleaned it out. It's an important step. There is wisdom in some of the practical natures. You might say, wait a minute, I don't understand. Why would I talk to a trusted friend? Why do I have to have them ask me questions like, how many times have you fallen into this pattern? And yet, the reality is, all that does, it brings an awareness in my life, if I have to acknowledge that. A simple illustration that struck me as he was explaining that. The first time I bought a Buick LeSabre, I was amazed at how many people suddenly got those cars. I drove around town, I drove them over down the highway, other states, and I'd see the same model, oftentimes the same color. They weren't there all those times, were they? Yeah, they were. I was paying attention. When someone asks you, what kind of patterns are plaguing you in this area, and you start counting them up, your attention is zeroed in on that thing, and so then you can act on the mess that you find with a level of awareness. Now, there's great wisdom in that. All that to say that if this has prompted a need for people, a person in your life, and you aren't sure where to go to find such a person, talk to us. Pastor Zach, I can help others, and your ABF could be in that conversation as well. We would help you find people that you can trust in that area. If you are here today, as we often say at the conclusion of a service, we struggle sometimes because that personal invitation to walk down in a public way and say, I've got this need that's weighing me down, I want to deal with it. Is that what's needed? And there are places for that. But the invitation is just as real, even if you don't step out and walk down an aisle. Find me outside by the table there. Call us during the week. Don't let this prompting that comes from looking at the Word of God, looking at your life and seeing a deficiency, don't let that just go on by. At any rate, I appreciate your attendance here this morning, your attention to the message. I invite you to come back tonight as we have a chance to enjoy the Lord's table. You are dismissed. Thank you.